Welcome to this special edition of the Boulder BI Brain Trust podcast. I'm Claudia Imhoff, and I'm here in Grants Pass, Oregon at the Humphrey Strategic Communications annual Pacific Northwest BI Summit, and I'm pleased to have the opportunity to interview each of the vendors attending this event. With me is Michael Whitehead. He's the CEO and the co-founder of Wearscape. So welcome, Michael.
Hi, great to catch up again.
Oh, it's wonderful having you. I love talking to you. We've had a wonderful 3 days here in Grants Pass, I have to admit. One of the topics that came up, one of the discussion topics, was all about the return on investment and the total cost of ownership of these types of projects, BI, data warehousing, projects versus programs. What were your thoughts around that?
Well, I have to say, it wasn't one of the topics that I was looking forward to. I thought it was going to be very, very dry. And especially looking around the room to see if there are accountants in the room.
Exactly.
But it actually turned out to be what I thought one of the best topics and best conversations. It was good discipline and a good approach to talking about the concepts of ROI, which... Well, we don't necessarily care about, someone does care about, someone has to justify that spend.
Your customers care about it, yeah. And that's why you need to care about it, don't you think?
Yeah, and there was a good differentiation between the idea of ROI and TCO, that a lot of the things that that Wearscape gets involved in, we're not actually at that project level. We're providing an infrastructure, we're supporting a whole lot of projects. So it was good to see that recognized and that talked about as more of a TCO style discussion.
I thought it was really interesting. William McKnight was the one that introduced the topic, and he did a good job of kind of differentiating. If you're talking about a project, then return on investment is probably really important. But if you're talking about a program that is made up of multiple coordinated projects, then it's not so much the return on investment as it is the total cost of ownership of this overall environment. And I found that to be quite interesting as well.
Yeah, because then you're talking about already made the decision that you need, like in our case, you need a data warehouse. So it's no longer the ROI on that. It's we need it. What's the most cost-effective way to do it? And it ties into a lot of the things that that Wearscape talks about. So when you look at the total cost of ownership, what can we impact? We can impact the cost part of it. And that's fantastic discussion for us. If we can, while we're not accountants, we can certainly impact your project by reducing the cost on it. And that's got to be good in anyone's language.
Well, and it's such a hard number too. Cost is something you can put a stake in the ground and say, here's how much it's going to cost.
Yes.
And if we can reduce it by 10%, 20%, 50%, that's a real tangible benefit to this overall discussion.
Yeah, and when you widen out the cost part of it as well, to look at not just the initial the cost, but the ongoing cost. So we talk a lot about data warehouses and data warehousing, about being processes, not projects. And this aligns your looking at the cost of it to what actually happens. You are going to modify it constantly. If it's going to keep relevant as your business conditions change, as people change,
right,
as the market changes, you're going to have to make changes. And it is a much better way of looking
cost.
At it.
And that's cost.
Yeah.
That's cost.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was terrific. The other thing that we did talk about as well, I presented an architecture that Colin White and I have been working on, gosh, for 18 months now. We call it the extended data warehouse architecture. It really consists of three pretty big environments. The first one is the more traditional one that we're used to when we think of data warehousing and corporate information factory kind of environment. Data warehouse, data marts, all of the ETL and underpinnings that go into creating that data warehouse. The other environment is the operational environment, and within that, not only is it the operational systems, which of course are the source of data for the data warehouses and data marts that we build, but it's also the operational analytics, the real-time analytics on real-time data. So that's a whole environment separate from the data warehouse, not disconnected from it. Obviously, there are tremendous integration points across the board there. And then the third environment is this new one. We haven't quite settled on a name, but we're thinking of calling it the investigative computing environment, which is really the world of these non-relational and relational databases, appliances and so forth. But it's more that kind of the experimental big data. What do I do with it? What do I, you know, what kinds of analyses do I have there? So it's these three pretty big environments coming together that extend the data warehouse, extend analytics into operations, and also into this Hadoop thingy, if you will. What were your thoughts about that?
It actually really resonated with me, because if you look at the DNA of Warescape, of why we started off, we have always believed that data warehouses are a great answer to a set of business problems, but they take far too long to build, and once they're built, they're far too hard to change. And that's where we started from day one. But for us, we've been seeing it happening over the last little while, is the definition of that data warehouse has been changing. There really hasn't been a formal architectural description of it, but it's certainly been changing. So when we first started, your data warehouse was a SQL Server data warehouse, or a Teradata data warehouse, or Oracle, or DB2, or whatever.
Fill in the blank.
Now your data warehouse is we call it data warehouse landscape. It's got still very much a Teradata or SQL Server in the middle of it. It's got an appliance on the side of it, whether that's Asta Data or Netezza or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's got Hadoop within there, and for us, that's your data warehouse, and it's the core basic concepts still hold. That's still of value. And it still takes too long to build, and it's still too hard to change.
Yes.
But the thing has changed, so it was great to see an architectural description down on paper, and see that what we were thinking and what we were experiencing was also what you as analysts were thinking about. It was great.
To that end, one of the things that I think Warescape brings to the table that is so critical in this environment is the automation of the creation of these different environments. If you don't mind, spend a little bit of time, not a lot, but a little bit of time talking about the automation process.
I could spend all day.
I know you could.
People latch onto automation for the upfront speed, that if I automate something, I can build it faster. While that's important, it's actually the change that is the most important. It is the refactoring, is the ability to come in here, the ability and say something has changed, I need to take account of that change. And that's when automation pays for itself 10 times over. As a data warehouse automation software vendor, we have the advantage of being able to go in there and blow people away with how fast we can build something to start off with. That's cool. That's great. That's the buzz. That's the excitement. But the best thing is that ongoing, they're going to see actual more and more benefit ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. As long as the data warehouse stays relevant within the organization, which, you know, we all have to do by changing it and modifying it and adjusting it,
right?
We can help with that process.
Yeah, and I think it's so true. I mean, certainly there's a huge win up front of being able to automate the first project, but it really is the incredible benefit of being able to automate every change. You bring in a new source of data, it's so much easier to drop out the old source and bring in this new one if you've automated the process. So much of that stays in place. You've just simply changed the source.
And it's all the things you get for free, like the documentation. Every
yes.
time you make a change, your documentation is then outdated, and you have to. You should go back and update your documentation so someone else coming in can see what's there. It never gets done. Mm. It never gets done properly. It's always one of those things you can push off. So when you're looking at the automating the environment, it's not just the build, it's everything around it. It's impact analysis, it's documentation, it's workflow, it's the entire process that you can look at. It's a lot of fun.
It is. Well, and a tremendous opportunity for you and for Warescape.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. So again, I'm with Michael Whitehead. He's the CEO and co-founder of Warescape. It's been delightful talking to you, Michael.
Thank you. It's been great.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the BBBT podcast. And thanks to Scott Humphrey for giving me this opportunity and for hosting the Pacific Northwest BI Summit.
Oh, baby, if you want to travel with me, pack things with mine. Don't look back, you know a highway now. We'll take 6:15 first thing in the morning. Bring your good shoes, we'll be traveling on.
This is Brain Trust Radio.